Welcome to Also Radio. I'm Jay.
And I'm Monet.
Let's get into the edit.
What's making you happy this week?
It's almost Halloween.
That makes you happy all year. You live for Halloween.
That's true.
But you're right. When you get closer to it, it's the best feeling, right?
And Halloween on a Friday? How lucky are we? I'm going to do some
baking. Super lucky. Super lucky. I you know why I like Halloween? Because I feel like it is the transformation period in terms of dressing. Like, that's when you really get into those transitional pieces. And I've definitely been experimenting, and I'm in a new phase. So I'm, like, living for Halloween 2025.
Yeah, and I feel like Halloween itself is the opportunity for people to be who they want.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's even just, like, a shedding, you know? It's
exactly.
What we're going to get into in a bit is just like a new season, right? It's a new phase of the year. Mm-hmm. And I love a new season of life in terms of growth and like something new.
Also, anything spooky.
Yes, spooky for sure.
I'm a spooky girl.
You're a spooky girl through and through. Mm-hmm. And I am a spooky poser, I would say, because I definitely adopt some spookiness. Like, I adopt spooky fashion, spooky themes, but like, am I 10 toes down for the spooky? No.
Did you listen to that podcast I was listening to the other day that was telling us I don't even want to call them ghost stories. Some of them were just,
I don't know, because did you tell me yes? I don't remember if you told me yes or not that it was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Is it the same narrator like weekly? Or is it just, like, different?
I think it's the same. I listened to... So, the first episode I listened to... I don't even know what it's called, by the way. I will circle back. But I just found it on Spotify. I listened to... The first episode was about Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who is the couple in The Conjuring.
Oh.
That made all those, like, The Conjuring movies and Annabelle. So, they're a real couple.
Yes.
And they were originally ghost hunters, basically. Yeah. But then they rebranded themselves as demon hunters. And that's this scary. Kind of came with the phase or with the era of like when The Exorcist came out.
Yeah.
You know, and then everyone all of a sudden was obsessed. I think in the 1960s, everyone was obsessed with possession and exorcism. So they started calling themselves demonologists.
Oh my God.
So the first,
they coined the term?
I don't think they coined the term, but they were like, okay, we're demonologists now, like instead of like ghost hunters or the occult, like they specialized in going after cases for free of people who were possessed. But of course, then they would get offered all these, book deals and stories and photo ops and all these, and that's how they made their money. But the episode the episode is really long because, I mean, the history of that couple is quite intense and
very detailed. I'm curious about it now. I only read, I think, the first sentence, and I had just seen Ed, and I thought it was about Ed Gein.
Mm.
And I was like, I can't deal with this show right now because we had started watching the show, and then I honestly didn't know a ton about him. So then I started reading more about him after you had told me that he was like the inspiration for
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, and what is the other one?
Norman Bates.
They take his face off. No, not that one.
They take his face off.
Silence of the
Lambs. Leatherface.
I don't know, something.
That's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I'm getting all my.
I have seen zero of those.
I haven't
seen any of those. But anyway, so then I started reading. I was like, I cannot finish watching this show. I'm going to get freaked the hell out. So I didn't finish watching it. And I was like, I don't want to know anything about this story.
I didn't even watch. I will watch it.
Yeah.
Just because I do know his story. But I haven't even watched it because I told you it kind of bothers. Like, the other stuff doesn't bother me.
People said it should bother you.
Yeah, because he's mentally ill.
Yes.
And you can say, well, they're all mentally ill. But that's not true. I mean, it depends on what you consider to be mentally ill. But
yes.
Ted Bundy was extremely very, very smart man. He broke out of jail.
Like, he was able to integrate into society.
What do you mean? He was society.
Yes, like, absolutely.
He was very smart. I think he represented himself.
Super charming.
One of his,
he was a narcissist as well. So he thought that he could represent himself.
So, I mean, I know me more than anybody. I know that narcissism is a personality disorder, but when
you're saying that in terms of because you went to school for
psychology,
okay,
yes. Just in case like, she's me more than anybody, I know that
gonna be like, is she a narcissist? Does she deal with a narcissist? Like, no, she has
depends on who you ask.
She has the education.
Yes, I did go to school for psychology. I loved it. I still, out of everything I learned, I still have things come back to me all the time that I'm like, I learned this in college. So very passionate about it. And I know that that narcissism falls obviously in the DSM as a personality disorder. So when you say mental illness, I guess you could consider that. But for me, mental illness, when I'm talking about he was considered to be insane by the court.
Yeah.
So, Ed Gein. So, you know, like Ted Bundy and that, Jeffrey Dahmer were very calculated, yes, very intelligent individuals that knew what they were doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think the show, though, they were able to portray that really well. Like, from the first episode, you definitely know that he is not okay.
Crazy.
Yeah, because he sees things, you know, he sees things that aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I think that the picture that they are painting is that he is very mentally unwell. Also, I do love Charlie Hunnam in general. So I was kind of like, well, maybe I'll keep watching it because I am curious to see Charlie Hunnam's progression as an actor, especially because I was a really big fan of Sons of Anarchy. So to see him, this is embarrassing, but I loved that show. And so to see him play a character that is just like so... what is the word? Like stereotypical in terms of like a biker that is I think they're Northern California. So Northern California American biker is what he played for. It feels like 10 years. I don't even know how many seasons it ended up being. So I was like, I want to see how talented Charlie actually is. And he's very talented, but it was very disturbing to continue watching. I don't know if I'm going to finish it.
I'm slightly curious, but we'll see. So, what are their names? Ed Warren. What are their names? So the Warren couple, it's not like that. It's not disturbing.
Yeah.
It's very controversial because there's a lot of people that say that they would exaggerate the cases that they would take. Some people said that they had to exaggerate because at the time the Catholic Church was really shying away from approving exorcisms, and if they didn't make a big show of it, then the Catholic Church would not approve exorcisms, and then you would have to do an exorcism without the approval of the Catholic Church, which really isn't
not an exorcism.
Exactly.
Then.
So they call it something, but it's not an exorcism. So,
yeah.
But there are a lot of people who believe that these two individuals were corrupt and they would take on these cases.
I already believe it and I don't even know anything yet, but I already don't believe that.
They would basically gaslight obviously if they're being called, these people already think that there's a presence in their house.
Yeah.
But they would pull tricks to try and gaslight these people into like really believing it. And but there was a story about how the story that inspired the first Conjuring, where they were invited into this farmhouse that was where there was a presence or multiple, and Lorraine was, I think that's her name. Did I say
yeah,
her
I think
name is
Lorraine?
Lorraine?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Lorraine Warren.
Now after we did that pronunciation thing today, I'm like, are you saying Lorraine?
Are you saying Lorraine or Lauren or Lorraine?
What are you saying?
She went into this farmhouse and she said she was a medium.
Uh-huh.
And she wanted to have a seance, and as she was having the seance, like the spirit was connected to her, can also connected to the wife, and the wife of the family, she passed out or
yeah.
something happened, and the husband kicked them out and said, I don't want you guys here. And they remained in the farmhouse, and they said that there was still stuff happening, but that it had gotten worse once the couple had come in. So,
yeah.
It is a very interesting story. I like to hear both sides. I haven't made a decision on whether or not I believe in them. It does seem the timing of their demonologists, being self-proclaimed demonologists, the timing is very odd because it was during the time, as I said, when the Exorcist book and movie had
become very popular. Wanted to monetize off of it.
Yep. And they saw the opportunity and they took it. But really good, very, very good story, and especially not too spooky.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely have to listen to it. What made me happy this week, I obviously TV first, so I started watching the new season of The Morning Show, which I've been loving. I'm a big fan of The Morning Show. The script writing in that show is so good. It has me addicted. I put my phone down. Like, that's how you know when something is good nowadays, right? When you put your phone down and you're actually paying attention. So I got through 5 episodes so far. I don't know how many are in this season, but I'm living for that. And then what else? Oh, my family tree. So my tia Juanita is working on a family tree because we are having, or actually there, I'm not attending, unfortunately. I wish I was, but there is supposed to be a big family reunion in Guadalajara, which I had no idea that my family was this big. So my mom sent me the family trees, and there is a whole other, like my family is, so my dad has, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, 13, I'm like Donald Trump, 15, 1400, 1500, 1600 brothers and sisters. But, so I have a very big family on just my dad's side. Well, my mom started showing me the actual family tree in terms of my grandfather, like where he came from, and then his brothers, and then like what came out of them. And it's huge, dude. And I was like, okay, I was not aware any of these people even existed. And they all have 7 names. And mine is...
How did you only end up with 3?
I'm telling you, my mom must have really wanted to just rebrand and just...
She rebranded the family.
She rebranded and she was like... You know, well, that's the thing too. I think during that time period, which this could be another episode, there was a period of assimilation. I think it was around the 1950s of those that immigrated from Mexico to the U.S. where they tried to adopt as many American ways as they possibly could. And a lot of that was, not teaching Spanish proficiently to the next generation, as well as like not passing on the maternal last name. How generally in Mexican culture, you have the maternal and the paternal last name together. I believe it's paternal first, but that ended up getting dropped when people started moving here too. So, interesting because I don't believe that I have a last name or a name that really like calls to heritage. But I was telling you, like, my little brother's name is definitely very cultural. And so I'm like, I am going to look so stupid on that family tree with my Lauren Monet.
They're like, no wonder she's not here.
Who's this girl?
Does she even exist? Yeah, where is she?
Exactly. So those were highlights for me just because I obviously love learning about history in general. And so to be able to do a little bit of history and do a deep dive on family records, and I worked with my robot to dig up some more information and past generations, and I was just having fun. I spent a couple hours doing that and sharing info, and that always makes me happy. That's how I know I'm getting old, because I used to like make fun of my nanny for doing that. I'd be like, this is weird. Like,
you see my family.
You have nothing to do or something. But now I'm like, I am the one who's really relishing in it. So I definitely can. It's like putting a puzzle together.
Yeah. No, I also love looking at a family tree. I don't have much family alive. So when I did the ancestry DNA thing to see, my culture and or my heritage and where it came from. And it was, I was like, I'm 50% Jewish. I mean, I knew I was kind of Jewish, but when you find out you're 50% of something, you're like...
Did you not know you knew before that, though, right?
I didn't know the percentage
that I was. Oh, okay. You didn't know that you were thick in it.
thick mm-hmm. all the way in, 50%. Yeah. I was like, do I get something for this? a pat on the head.
You get
a wink.
That is what you get.
Good
you
girl.
Get a, you yeah. get a wink.
Yeah.
I did not do my ancestry thing because I got Christmas parents for Christmas parents. I got Christmas presents for both of my parents, and provided that I am their child, I assume that their doing theirs would be enough for me. Unless I was adopted at some point or somebody else's
Now's
child.
The time to tell her.
That was the time to tell me.
That's why your name is Lauren. Just kidding. Okay, that's the last joke I'm making.
Literally, what was, I can't even remember my great-great-grandfather's name. It is like Jose Maria. I already forgot a part. Jose Maria de something, mm-hmm. Ortiz Hermosillo. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. So Hermosillo is the capital of Sonora, right? It's the biggest city in Sonora. If I'm wrong, I am losing my mind. But as far as my brain works, that's the way that it is. Anyways, I'm like, what ties are there to that city then, like in the formation of it? I tried to find that through records today, and then I kind of got stumped because I actually had to start working. So hopefully that is my goal for tomorrow, to see what's around there. And that's why I like it. It's just like, I feel like it paints a picture, mm-hmm. and I can go into it and I can see it. And I am like walking in the town and then like seeing the clothes and seeing like, I literally just like feel like it's coming up around mm-hmm. me, and I'm there and I'm seeing it. So I get really, really deep into it.
I love that.
Yeah, it's like living in delusion.
Delulu is the
Salulu. And it's also the fun, so I recommend it. You don't even need drugs for it. All you just need is a little bit of ADHD and just you're high on life.
Speaking of fun.
Speaking of fun and speaking of history, we are getting into the history of Halloween.
Yeah, we figured it's Friday, so want to start us off?
I would love to start us off. Let's go back 2,000 years ago, and we are going back to the origination of this Celtic festival of Samhain. So this looks like Samhain, mm-hmm. right? I was telling Jessica I had a friend that would always wear this shirt that said Samhain, and it was in like that Misfits font, and so I thought it was a band the entire time. And I was like, this is when we were younger. So, you know, when you're young and you're like, I don't want to ask what that band is because then I look like a poser. So forever, I thought that it was just Samhain. And then when I started doing my research, I was like, this is pronounced Samhain. Is that not insane? Samhain.
Where's the M?
Where are the other letters? Where's any of it? So anyways, Samhain was a Celtic festival in Ireland, Scotland, Northern France. Essentially, they used the Celtic calendar to mark the end of harvest. So the calendar is basically split up in 2 years, right? You have the light part and then you have the dark part. Samhain is the beginning of the dark part of the year. This festival is essentially used to let people know the dark part's coming.
Welcome the new year.
Welcome the new year. Get ready in terms of their crops, in terms of their harvest. And I had also heard something. It was about keeping people safe in terms of like the time is changing. Mm. So to start being prepared because it's going to get dark out. If we don't yield enough food, people are going to die.
So spirits were thought to roam on this night, and the people would wear animal skins and masks to disguise themselves to protect themselves from the spirits.
Doesn't this sound just like an M. Night Shyamalan movie to you? All I could see them
which
is just
one?
Like, which one? There was one where I felt like they were in... See, this is the thing, too. I would always, like, watch it like this. So I'm like, I don't even know the scene half the time. But there was one that was just, like, really, like, set in an old time. And there was crops and stuff. And I feel like they were wearing masks. And I was freaked the hell out.
Oh.
Does that sound familiar?
Masks, no. But I don't know why all of a sudden I thought of The Witch.
And there was, like, they were, like, wearing pig masks at some point.
Is it The Witch? But I don't know if he directed that. Have you seen The Witch with Anya Taylor-Joy?
No. Oh, I don't think she's in it. Well, I'll have to ask Mason what movie he made me watch. So getting in. I'm forced to watch it. So enter the 8th century. This is when religion combines with paganism, because they believed that by converting some of the pagan beliefs, they were going to be able to convert them into their religion. One of the key pagan festivals was called Lemuria. It was originally on May 13th. It had themes of ghosts and spooky stuff. There was even something I saw where they would pour milk on the tombs to let people rest. So they ended up taking this spooky holiday and then they moved it, right?
They moved All Saints Day to November 1st, and then they changed October 31st to All Hallows Day to drain the life out of the pagan holiday, basically. So October 31st was All Hallows Day, then it became All Hallows Even, and then it became Halloween. And to be safe, the church, they added All Souls Day on November 2nd to honor saints, Christians who had departed.
That's so nuts to me, because I'm like, they moved around so many days, right? So what had originally started as Samhain was the day of, I believe, November 1st, correct? Samhain was what switched to All Saints Day, right?
I think so.
And then that's when they started just moving the days around. And they
Or kind did of- they just put All Saints Day to November 1st? And they left.
Well, I'm sorry. Yes, they kept changing the names.
Yes, they did.
Yes, mm-hmm. They kept changing the names. And so it was a real toss up in terms of, like, I was like, how are they just like changing society every single day? But then it brought me back to what happens today. And it brought me back to when Donald Trump changed the Gulf of America to the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf of America.
And I'm like, this is literally what was happening back then. They're just like, fuck it. We'll change the day. We'll just change
the day. They're trying to take all the fun out of it, it sounds like.
But when I was learning about it, I was so, like, I had to write it all down. And I was like, wait, this went with this. And then this went with this. I was like, is that right? So it must have been a very confusing period for a couple years. Like, what holiday is where? Especially when they changed All Hallows Even, and they just combined Hallow and Even to make Halloween.
Yeah, they were like, All Hallows Evening, All Hallows Even.
Yes.
Halloween.
I literally, when I watched it play out and switch around, I was like, how did they get there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so let's get into the medieval traditions, because I feel like this entire block of time is really what solidified what ends up happening and then what turns it into a modern day Halloween, right? So on Souls Day, churches start telling Christians to pay. Not to pay, I'm sorry. But they will tell them to pay later on.
Yes,
they start telling them to pray for the souls that are stuck in purgatory, which we all know is the space between heaven and hell. And if enough prayers were offered, then a soul would fly up into heaven. So they would go in the streets. The children would go souling. They would be begging for soul cakes. And then they would do this in exchange for offering up prayers.
So this is when the origin of witches took place. In the 16th century, those pointed witches' hats that we all know and
those
love.
Those are your favorite. This is like when you would have thrived.
This is my... I am a direct descendant. I can feel it in my bones. Like, so the pointed witches' hats were originally pointed country hats. Mm-hmm. That the probably single, young to middle-aged women were living alone with pointed hats. They also had household items that everyone had, like a cauldron or a broom or a black cat.
And they literally just like casted that stereotype on them, and then witch panic arose.
Yeah, so they believe that these type of women always existed, but they used to just be women who had, you know, they were helpful. Mm-hmm. They were seen as that woman that you would go see and she would help you when you're sick. But at some point in the 16th century, that behavior was considered suspicious. So, yeah.
I know. It's just so mind-blowing.
So something about them.
They were probably only in like their 30s too. They were just like in their 30s. Like
young to middle-aged women who were most likely living alone. their community did not like that. Whatever they were into, people. So the behavior of their little like brews or tea leaves or whatever they were into at the time, this behavior became suspicious, mm-hmm. and people decided to turn against them and make, you know, and call them out as witches, and then they would burn them at the stakes.
That makes me so sad for them and all the witches in our ancestral lines, because they've shaped us into who we are today, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely also shaping Halloween into what it is today, because those spooky elements really started to move into the new world. And witches
are iconic now.
Oh, they're so iconic, and they're hot. I would want to marry a witch, right? So then we're getting into the 17th century. Masks are introduced. This essentially helped to hide destructive behavior, because beggars would go out on Hallow's Eve, get too drunk, get rowdy, eat a bunch of food, just go out and cause a ruckus. So masks were a way to disguise their identity, who they were. They hoped that they wouldn't get in trouble if they had a mask on. In Britain, they began to dress up. They would go house to house. They would do performances. And then they would generally be rewarded with like food, money, whatever. But it didn't really get amplified until this guy named Guy Fawkes showed up. And he basically caused some chaos. He got a bunch of dynamite. He acquired it somehow. And he tried to blow up the House of Lords in London. He was tried, found guilty, hung, chopped up into pieces. They said that they quartered him, and then they threw him into a fire, and then there was chaos. This all happened November 5th. So all of these themes are really starting to come together in a smaller time period, right? That whole week. But the kids really would go out to celebrate Guy Fawkes Day every single year. What's nuts to me is that the Guy Fawkes celebrations even made its way to the shores of America. So they were at this period is when they are going to colonize. Some of the kids are going over and they're taking that holiday now to America.
Mm-hmm.
So then we start to see small celebrations, and there's notable events like in 1833, there's a small gathering where they start telling ghost stories. And then we get to a point where civil war begins. This is 1865 now, and we have 500,000 dead, unclaimed, unknown bodies, AKA more ghost stories, and they are lighting up the scene.
So in the 1840s, Irish and Scottish immigrants bring Halloween customs to the U.S. So bogies, which are boogeymen, they're brought over, or the tale of them are brought over, which honestly, were boogeymen ever part of like your Halloween lore?
Well, okay. We all know my Halloween lore is messed up.
Oh, that's true.
But I was surprised to learn this. I feel like the boogeyman was a big part of American lore, right?
But all the time. Like, children go to sleep and they're afraid of the boogeyman.
Yeah, not you're right. Like, it's not. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it just stuck?
You know, it must have.
It's good to know the origin of the boogeyman, but.
Yeah, we should probably get into that a bit more at some other point. But it seems like he existed. And who knows if he originated from Halloween, but then he just definitely became somebody who could
come
after you all year.
Yeah, it seems like he did.
You know, like Santa Claus obviously is from Christmas, but people will reference Santa Claus all year to their kids. Like, well, maybe.
Oh, yeah. They're like, he's watching you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. Imagine doing that all year long. No, like, elf on the shelf all year. You guys are mean. Don't do that to your kids. Okay.
Gosh.
So pumpkins, which are native to North America, they replaced turnips. So I didn't know this, but before...
You just carry a little turnip around.
Okay. So when you think of Jack-O-Lantern, which was a character who was so bad, he was kicked out by the devil, but his name is Jack-O-Lantern. So when you think of a Jack-O-Lantern, you think of a pumpkin, right? With a smile and two eyes. But if you think of a turnip...
Well, also, did you know that smile comes from the skull? The shape of what's there in
the
skull.
Well, it makes sense, right? When, then especially when you put a light behind it.
Yeah.
So American children, they obviously, So American children having access to pumpkins, they started carving pumpkins, putting the lights in them, and realizing that this was a really good way to scare the shit out of people. They would put the pumpkin with on, their head, or they would put it on sticks, mm-hmm. and they would put a sheet over it, and they would stick it in windows. And this was the chaos that was Halloween before.
Some of the chaos that was Halloween. These kids were bad as hell. When I was researching them, I'm like, they were out there smashing windows, lighting stuff on fire. They would derail trains. I saw there was several stories of kids disassembling wagons and then reassembling the wagons and putting them on roofs. So, like, they take your wagon apart. Go find a roof, put the wagon back together, and your wagon is up there now. Like, is that not?
You know what? I take it back. That is why you threaten your child with Santa Claus literally. All your life.
Literally. And I'm like, at this point, it's so hard to be able to try. And okay, I will say this. This was predominantly boys.
Yeah.
This was American boys, and they were causing so much mischief.
And all of this was solved by candy,
literally just a little bit of sugar. I mean, it took some time for sure, because I think it was the brand Denison that first saw Halloween as something that they could monetize, right? So they start seeing kids, you know, dressing up and parading around in the jack-o'-lanterns, and they're like, okay, we can make masks, we can start selling paper masks, we can provide this for the people. But then, of course, like in our Fatal Fashion episode, the masks that they were selling were flammable. So people were dying. You know, there's so much fire everywhere. There's no electricity, remember? So there's candles everywhere. Paper doesn't do well. There's deaths. So
talking about committing to the holiday.
So then comes Sears, which was one of my first jobs. I love it.
Why did you say that so excited?
So enthusiastically. I used to work at the Sears call center. And I remember in training, there was this one day where they provided us, I guess, the origins of Sears. And so we got to see some of the old pamphlets. And I always thought it was really cool looking at that vintage, just the old, I guess, booklets that they would, because they would send out like one booklet a year, essentially. And it would be a really thick magazine of everything that they would sell. But Sears was the first to popularize costumes that were durable for kids. So this is when we're starting to get a really full-fledged Halloween, and in comes candy.
So post-World War II, sugar rationing ends and trick-or-treating explodes. Candy companies see the opportunity to market. They come in and candy cures the chaos. Costumes shift from homemade to mass-produced, and boom, there's Halloween.
Isn't it a little sad, which I'm like, this should be a whole other episode, but just how so many things were formed in the wake of capitalism?
I mean,
just like fucked.
It makes where me, do we live?
I know. Where do we live and where do we begin? But I was kind of like, it's like yuck. It honestly gives me like yuck vibes that I'm like, this is why, just because they could make some money off of us.
Oh yeah. I mean, supply and demand, opportunity. They saw it. They came in. They fulfilled the demand and look at it
I'm
now.
I'm not going to participate in that anymore. I'm going to give kids like apples, oranges, bananas. I'm not giving to the big companies. I'm going to be like, I will give to my local farmers, and that's what you guys are getting. And you can have some paper and some pastels.
Some colored pencils.
That is the type of person that I'm turning into. I'm just going to, you know what I've been wanting to do is make my own paper, and it's super easy to make. You basically just need a press and
can
you make
I ask
like,
why?
Because you get this really pretty organic look, and then, I mean, you can like paint, draw on it. Sometimes it's like the art itself is the paper.
What I was gonna say is that I'm not gonna make my own paper, but
I am.
It's one of those things where I admire people that do, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm trying to tell you that Halloween is the second most marketed holiday.
Well, Let me think of all the holidays. Hold on. Yeah. That makes sense for sure. But how many holidays are there? Five? Four?
You don't think that Veterans Day is marketed?
Yeah, that's how many holidays are there to market?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess if you really think about it, it makes sense. But obviously Christmas. But I mean, I just think of Valentine's Day. And
yeah, but you can only market for Valentine's Day for a little bit. Like, nobody's doing month-long.
They are.
Well, they're trying to. Target. But, like, I feel like so silly doing it for Valentine's Day. You can, like, double down for Halloween.
In February, we're going to look together. We're going to go to Target. I'm going to show you all of the Valentine's Day shit.
I believe you because they are starting to do it early. But I'm saying, like, we as people, as society, haven't necessarily been, like, I'm celebrating Valentine's Day all month. Whereas, yeah, like, right. We're doing just our own traditions for the entire month. Like, we're baking, we're watching movies, we're doing all these things. Like, we are only doing Valentine's Day on one day.
You're right. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. To know the history of Halloween and to hear that, I mean, again, yeah, if you sit down and you just, as an independent fact, you think about it makes sense. But if you know the history of it, and then you think about how it's the second most marketed holiday.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad.
It's and so weird.
I get it. It's definitely, it's marketable. Like, from a marketing perspective, it's cool.
Yeah, anything for a kid, huh?
It's cool. It's fun. Yeah. It's for kids. Like, you definitely get to wrap yourself up in it and really has good memories. It definitely has good memories for sure. And that's obviously why it's stayed around forever.
Mm-hmm.
So despite it being a capitalist holiday, it's obviously still super fun. I love making those memories with Mila. I love trick-or-treating. Obviously, I love a theme. So I think just getting dressed up in general is fun. And if we can make it our own and kind of rebel against those capitalist ways, I'll find a little path to do that for sure.
And especially knowing the roots and the origins of this holiday, it makes me want to celebrate it even more, even harder. But it makes
for
me
Guy
want
Fox.
To exactly. It makes me want to celebrate it the way it was meant to be celebrated.
Yeah, and I think that is a very valid point in terms of going back to what the 2,000 years ago, where we are talking about a season ending and we're moving into a darker period, and it shouldn't be something that is inherently scary, because I think that that change is beautiful, where you're moving from the light to the dark and you just learn to embrace it in a different way, right? You are able to turn into a different part of yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the tradition of honoring death is, I think, extremely important to the experience of being a human being. I think death for a long time was taboo and people don't understand it, so they don't want to think about it. Don't
you mean
celebrate.
Talking about death was taboo?
Is that or celebrating it maybe. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
I feel like death, we don't understand it, so it can make us uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know when you like talk about something related to death and someone says, God, that's so dark. Or,
yeah,
Jessica,
absolutely.
That's so morbid. And you're
She has a trauma. So you're replaying it in your head.
I'm like, well, I mean, maybe. But also, I think the more we talk about it, celebrate it, honor it, bring it into conversation, I think the more comfortable you are with death, I think it's easier to help you process it. It makes you less fearful of it.
Absolutely.
And I think maybe that's honestly one of my favorite parts of a holiday celebrates and honors death.
Yes. I think we could probably spend a whole other episode on that, because that really intertwines with religion as well. And there's so much data shown and proven that those that are atheists really struggle with death because there is no faith-based anything to cling on to. And so sometimes it can help you to be part of a religion in that sense, or just to believe in something, you know? And so this is, it could be a good segue for people to really start experimenting with that light and dark, and maybe there is something after. So yeah, I like that for sure. And I think it's a beautiful way to move into the new season.
Agreed.
We'll see you guys next week. We're off to go see a Broadway show tonight, and we're going to have so much fun. It's girls' night.
It's girls' night. Happy Halloween!
Bye!